Well, hi Jen, this is Cha, and this is my podcast for the assessment case study that we had to do for this semester. Before I start, I'm going to give an outline of what I'm going to talk about on this podcast. First, I'm going to give a little background info on the student and how I came to choose that student. Secondly, I'm going to talk about standardized testing and how it relates to the student and my thoughts on standardized testing. Thirdly, I'm going to talk about student work samples and what it reveals about the student. And lastly, talk about observation data on this student that I did with him. So, to begin, this student is a third grader in the St. Paul Public School District, and he is a Hmong American student, and to be quite frankly, it's one of my wife's student. My wife is a teacher, I think I told you that before, but I chose this student because I worked with him in the past, and getting information and assessments on him would be feasible and easy to get, so that's why I chose this student. He is of Hmong descent, like I said before, and he is a male, a boy. So, to begin, standardized testing. What sense do you make of these tests are supposed to inform teachers, parents about their child's academic performance? Well, I think standardized testing helps inform teachers and families about where their students are at with their learning, or on the other hand, what they're lacking, what they need to learn. So some of these tests include aptitude tests, readiness testing, basic standards testing, state testing. One of the tests that the student's teacher gives is the aptitude test, which is called a COGAT. COGAT test, it's an acronym for something I can't look at it right now. But what it is it's a aptitude test, and it can also be accessed by parents. So parents can use these tests to help their students learn where they're at. So going back, standardized testing is basically, I believe, a guideline for teachers. It shows teachers and their families where the student is at and what they can do to proceed with their learning to be more efficient. Sorry, my phone keeps going to the same screen. Standardized testing also informs schools, districts, and state, where, you know, they can use that as budgeting and funding with the No Child Left Behind Act. So yeah, in a nutshell, standardized testing is testing that is formal testing to show teachers and families where their student is at. So next question, or what I'm going to talk about next, is what are the differences between criterion referenced and norm referenced assessments? So basically, norm referenced assessment is a type of test that takes the test taker's ability and performance, and they put it in a chart against other test takers, which usually is their classmates or their class level, which in this case is the third grade level. Criterion reference, on the other hand, is a type of test that takes the test taker's ability to understand a set curriculum. So there's companies out there that already have a set curriculum of what a third grader should be learning at now, above or below. So that's the difference between those two. What I notice about these two type of tests is that usually these tests are either multiple choice, short answer, or essay questions. Pretty easy and standardized questions so that they can be easily measured and be inputted and then show their assessment scores. Now I'm going to talk about how these standardized tests can be implicitly biased. I believe that it all depends on the population of students, the demographics and the environment where the students are at. Inner city schools will learn different types of content compared to rural schools. Suburban schools will probably have a different type of content compared to urban inner schools. So it all depends on where you're at, I believe. And to be quite honest, I've always been working with students of color and inner city schools, so I don't know what kind of content that schools that aren't in the inner city schools have, but I'm pretty sure they're quite a little bit different. Another thing about implicit bias is that teaching styles and learning styles may be different because of standardized testing. One thing that I've learned is that sometimes teachers might teach to the test instead of to the students, meaning they want their students to perform well in standardized testing, and so they teach to the books. Another thing is district standards are different from each other. That kind of goes back to the first point I said about the demographics and environment. Certain school districts may use different standards compared to other districts, so that could be a bias that is with standardized testing. Lastly, in the standardized testing content that I'm going to talk about on this podcast is, if it was the only diagnostic method used, how might this be a problematic? I really believe standardized testing isn't the best way to do things. I understand that it's the most easiest way to measure a student's learning. So I believe in that. But honestly, no, I don't think it's the best thing to do. It can be problematic because some tests are only tailored for certain students. It doesn't really test the strength of each student. It only tests what they're at right now. Also, not everybody's a great test taker. Students, some days students might come in being able to do what they can do best, and then certain days they can't. Also, it also can build pressure and anxiety for both the teacher and students. Like I said earlier, sometimes teachers are teaching to the test instead of the students, so it can build pressure and anxiety because they want to have good test results with their students, and also with students, they want to have good test scores. And one thing that I really believe in that we read, I forgot what class it was, but one quote that I really enjoy is that standardized testing is only a picture of testing, and it's not like informative assessment where it's a streaming video. So I'll read it, and maybe that was a little confusing, but only standard testing only measures a picture, while informal assessments are like a streaming video. So that's kind of a big reason why I see that standardized testing is only a snapshot of what a student is able to do on the test. All right, so that concludes for standardized testing. I'm going to move into student work samples. So when looking across quizzes, homework, and teacher-made tests for your students, what is your overall impression of the student? And what does the student does consistently well? So this student, He's an exceptional student. He always turns in his homework on time. He never turns in late. He does well on his tests and quizzes, meaning he gets good grades on there. And how can I tell? Well, his teacher showed me some of his tests and scores that he has. Unfortunately, I didn't get to take pictures of it, but there's some examples on my Padlet of other things that the teacher does with the student. Also, a real quick side note about this student is that, and it relates to how can I tell that the student is an exceptional worker. A student is that he actually reads to his older sister. His older sister actually has a learning disability, so she is low on her her assessments. So what he does is he actually wants to take care of his sister. His teacher was telling me that they always get teary-eyed when they talk about how he wants to do good in school so that he can help his sister. He likes reading books to his older sister to show that. So that's another thing about him, that he's actually teaching and reading to his siblings. All right. So we're also going to talk about, when looking at these assessments, quizzes, homework, teacher made tests, what is the overall impression of what the student tends to consistently need to focus attention on to improve? One thing that that he needs to improve on is his detail in his work. Although he does very well on quizzes and tests, he doesn't provide a lot of details. So what the teacher wants and what I saw is that he needs to show his process of what he is thinking. If he does that, the process will help him see his homework and he can reflect on what he can improve on. So one thing that we can also touch on too, also with his homework, is that he has confidence in his what he does, but verbally he has issues or challenges speaking. For example, when I did the interview with him on the book, he was very attentive and he read the book very well with his fluency, but it was very hard for him to explain in detail his answers. That's why if you look at some of the informal observations we will touch on later, he doesn't give a lot of details. Although I know he knows what he's doing, it doesn't process out verbally. So that might do too, because he's an EL student. While observing him, we'll get to that in the next section. But that should conclude section on student work samples. The last section we're going to talk is observation data. So what I did here was I went a couple of days to just observe him and fill out some forms for this assignment. And like I said, I kind of knew him from a year ago too, so he kind of knew who I was. What are my perceptions of this child as a learner? He's a good student. I watch him. He gets along with all students. He likes to help a lot of his classmates. And like I said, he likes to help his older sister that has a learning disability. He is an above average learner. He gets along with his classmates and adults. And what do I feel influences his perception of this child as a learner? Again, I think the biggest thing is that he really wants to be a good student so he can help his older student who has a learning disability. We talk about her here and there too. I mentioned earlier, he likes reading to his sister in his reading logs, his homework reading logs. I forgot to mention this earlier, but he has books that he reads to his sister, and that's pretty cool. Most of the books are a little bit simple books, but as long as he's reading, that's good. We're gonna next move to triangulating data. Triangulating data means basically just looking at all the data you have and trying to make connections among them. For example, in this case, there's standardized testing, there's student work like homework, quizzes, and then informal observations. So what triangulation data is trying to get all those three kind of assessments and data and try to put together a more clearer, coherent picture of what the student is. So like I said, when I did this assessment, the biggest thing I got from it is that he really loves his family and he's trying to be a good student for his family. Again, find out that fluency is good. He can read good. We did a little bit of math. He's good with math, but his comprehension is good, but his verbal and expression of his thinking process is short and simple. He doesn't like to add a lot of details. If you look at the informal observation that I did when we read Pete the Cat, you know, he didn't add any details. And when I asked him, what do you think about this and that, he kind of looked at me and shrugged it off. And I was like, you know, okay, that's fine. So I think that is it. Hopefully I touched a little bit on everything I had in here. I think assessment is always great. I mean, you can't really do anything well and efficient if you don't have assessment. Like I said, I only met with this kid, I think, two times. So most of the stuff that I got from him was through his teacher, and it was nice to talk to his teacher to kind of get a more clear picture of how he is as a student and the things he does in school. So yeah, it was a good learning opportunity, and it's some of the things I can see with this assignment is that there's a lot of work to assess one student, and sometimes I feel like we already have too much on the table as teachers, and it might be hard to look at one student, you know, in detail as much as I did with this student. But hey, that's what we got ourselves into, and that's the things we have to do. So yeah, hopefully I did an okay job with this assignment. If I have any questions, I'll ask you. If you have questions about it, you can definitely ask me. So thank you, and that's it.